All right, a lot of neat things going on that we want you to be a part of in the coming year. We start a series this weekend called Supernatural Makeover. I believe God is going to help us all supernaturally to see change and transformation in many areas of our life, because God is a God that gives us new beginnings and gives us fresh starts. Great scripture in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, that really just gives us the basis that there can be makeovers, there can be new beginnings, there can be fresh starts that are available to each one of us. And verse 22 says that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Thank God that through His mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassion fails not. I love verse 23. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad that mercy and compassion was brand new this morning and met you this morning? They are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God. One of the greatest gifts that God gives you and I is the opportunity for new. The opportunity for something else. God designed our days in 24-hour segments. God designed days and weeks and months and years and seasons. Why did He do it that way? Why is there not just running time? It's because God knows that you and I on a regular basis need a fresh start. And so God gives us an opportunity every day for a fresh start. New compassion, new mercies, new beginnings. And so we're excited because we stand on the threshold of a new year, new opportunity. And I believe you and I are going to make good decisions to choose the very best that God has for us. To believe God for a supernatural makeover in areas of our life, whether it's our spiritual life, whether it's relationships and family, whether it's maybe our physical health, maybe it's our finances. We just want to see a makeover, just God to do a transformation. So we want to do everything we can to help you with that. We've got a couple things that are right around the corner. I know next weekend, Perry Stone will be unleashed on Healing Place Church. Perry Stone's a great preacher. He's a dynamic preacher. And he's just been a student of the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. He's one of those guys who kind of gives you a heads up on kind of what will the end look like. You know, everybody talks, what's it called? What's the end of times going to be like? How's the whole world going to wrap up? Nobody knows exactly. But there's those that are students of the book of Daniel, book of Revelation. Perry's one of those. He'll be with us next week in all of our services. And then, so it's going to be incredible. Perry's unique. He can't preach the same thing twice. He's too hyper. And so he preaches four different messages. But you can't double dip. Can I have a good amen? There's no double dipping. But he's going to be with us on a Sunday night. We very rarely ever do a Sunday night service because we do 11 weekend services at all of our campuses. So we only do it when it's something special. And so next Sunday night around 6 o'clock, we'll gather together for a time of worship. And then Perry's going to preach on the power of the Holy Spirit. I bet there's not a person here, you look at your life in 06 and say, there was just too much Holy Spirit at work in my life. I OD'd on the Holy Ghost all year long. I mean, most of you would probably say, I need more of God's Spirit in my life. In my relationship. Sunday night is going to be a night of power and the Word. I believe you're going to want to be here. And then we turn right around a very important night, really for what God is doing through you on January the 10th. All of our campuses will come together. This is when we start Wednesday nights back. Now, Wednesday nights are going to be a little different. Over the past 3 years, the late night has been on Wednesday night with Life University. We've now moved late night to Saturday nights. So really, in 2007, we have 5 weekend opportunities at Highland Road instead of 4. And then on Wednesday night, we'll have Life University. Give us a little more time. We're going to be doing some things. We're going to be talking about habits of health for the first 90 days of the year. And going to be looking at different things that we can do, different transformations that God wants to give us. We'll have a 90-day challenge that we're going to put out there starting on, you know, just in a couple weeks. So January the 10th begins Life University, and we're going to start it with a night where we all come together, have a night of worship, night of the Word, have some special guests with us. But really, the special guest will be you. And TBN, who is a television channel, they've asked us to film our service. We get to film it. We get to edit it. It's our, you know, whatever, however God knits us together, our creative abilities. And we're going to give them our Wednesday night service. And then they're going to show it all over the world. Over 250 million homes that they're going to show it in a couple times. So you get to be a part of all that. I think it's just great that we get that honor to be able to tell people what God is doing in our lives. Amen. And so that'll be a great way, January the 10th. And then we have a lot of prayer moments that we've talked about. Our Life magazine next week. We'll really help you with this 90-day challenge and just the supernatural makeover that God wants to do in your life. We've asked some different people to write articles in Our Life magazine. I believe it's our best Our Life magazine we've ever done. Really, it acts as a devotional also for us for the next couple months. So it's just going to be a great time because God is wanting to do something new in our life. And we've got to make good decisions to take advantage of the new that God offers to us. Can I have a good amen? So let's get ready. Let's start out strong. Let's start out in prayer. Let's start out being dedicated to the house of God. Let's start out right. And let's believe God that it's going to last more than 2 days. Can I have a good amen? So let's all pray and let's get ready to dive into the Word for supernatural makeover. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I believe one of the greatest gifts that you give us is the gift of new, the gift of a new year. And here we are standing at the dawn of a new year. And Lord, we just ask right now that you'd help us. Help us to have eyes of faith. Open up our hearts. Open up our spirit. Open up our mind. Open up everything that's going on the inside of us. Let it be open to you, God. Let it be open to your word and your will. So, Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. We want to welcome all those who have joined us through media and through television. Just thank you so much for being with us. I know that God's going to speak to your life. He's going to speak to your heart. We're believing for a supernatural makeover in your life. And we're just excited that you let us come into your home and just speak words of life, hopefully, into your heart. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to talk for a few minutes about supernatural makeover. The other day, I was reading a magazine. I was traveling. I picked up a magazine and was reading it. Most of the time, I'll read some, but really, I just kind of look at advertisements and things like that. But every once in a while, I'll dive into an article. And there was an article that I came across when I was traveling that really caught my eye. And it was an article about great adventures that you can go on. And it basically said, great adventures that are available to you in 2007. And it had this little underlying thought that was like, you know, has 2006 been boring? Are you living a mundane life? Then launch out in these one of these great adventures. And it began to list all these great adventures, these great challenges that we can go on, trips and tours that you can go on, see some of the great wonders of the world. And it had this long list of different great adventures. And then it had a list on how do you plan to go on one of these great adventures. And then it had a big list of gear that you could get a hold of so that you could go on these trips. And then it had a whole section on how do you train for one of these great adventures, and how do you get ready for one of these great adventures, and all these websites on how to connect. And then in fine little teeny print was the cost. Come on, somebody. And I thought it was so interesting. I started reading it. I thought it was just amazing as it just went through and it listed about how to get ready and which ones to pick and which ones would fit your life better and which one would be more available to you. It even had a place where you could give one of them as a gift to somebody else as a great adventure. You could give a great adventure away. I thought it was amazing. I listed some. I wrote some of them down in my journal. I was so fascinated by this. And a couple of them said rafting the great, you know, the great river through the Grand Canyon, rafting some of the great rivers of North America, diving the Great Barrier Reefs, bike riding, actually riding a bike through the Mojave Desert, exploring the Peruvian jungle, just going a 30-day hike through the Peruvian jungle, snakes, spiders, disease. Another one was motorcycle riding through Vietnam. And a long list of gear, very expensive. You know, 6-month preparation to get ready to ride a motorcycle through Vietnam for several weeks. Surfing the pipeline. Going to Hawaii, surfing the North Shore, and just visiting some of the reefs that you'll be getting very close to. And then there were two others at the end of the list. I thought, now this is getting wild. It was kayaking in Alaska to see the polar bears feed. Get up close with real wild polar bears as they feed. I'm thinking, now, does that mean that we're going to be vittles? I mean, what's going on with this? Now, I thought of some people I'd like to give that to. Maybe you got some clients. You work for some people. I want to bless you with this. Get real close now. You can tie a T-bone around your neck. It's okay. It'll help you. And then the last one was swim with the great white sharks off of Australia. Yeah, and it talked and it had training and how to prepare for this. And they left out a major thought. You better go see your insurance agent. You better check up on life insurance before you go do that one. So I thought about all these great adventures, and I wrote some down. I started looking at the list of the great adventures that you can go on in 07, maybe because your life in 06 was boring. I had one simple thought, because I know of a great adventure that everybody can take. I know of one that was not listed here. And it's one that everybody can take because it's a great adventure that is available to everyone. And it's the great adventure called 2007. That you and I stand at this moment on the threshold of one of the greatest adventures that God offers. And that is time. That is the preciousness of a day, a week, a month. You know what one of the greatest adventures is? Is realizing that God offers you and I a new year, a new beginning, a fresh start, another segment of life that can be different from the last segment that you just lived. He offers change. He offers transformation. He offers you and I this incredible fresh start day in and day out. Because that's what Lamentation says, that God's mercies and God's compassions are new every single morning. It's because of the faithfulness of God, not the faithfulness of man, not the faithfulness of what we do, but the faithfulness of who He is. The new beginning and the fresh start and the great adventure of life that is waiting on us is based on who He is. Boy, what an adventure that God gives us. It's laid out before us. Now the question is, what will we choose to do with it? What will we choose to do with this gift of a new year? God has purchased you a gift called the great adventure of a new year. What are you going to choose to do with it? See, so much of what God has for us, so much of the life that God intends for us, boils down to the choices we make. Do we choose to believe Him? Do we choose not to believe Him? Do we choose to rely on His Spirit? Do we choose to rely on the spirit of man? Do we choose to really take Him at His word? Or do we choose to just navigate life on our mere words? Constantly, God gives us choices. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is an amazing passage of Scripture that gives us so much help when it comes to launching out on the great adventure of a new beginning. And God is speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. And God's had them on a great adventure. God's been guaranteeing. God's been showing up. God's been holding Himself to His word. God's been taking care of His business. All these different things. And now Moses is kind of getting ready to exit the scene. Going to turn things over to this leader that's waiting in the wings, Joshua. And so God speaks through Moses and basically tells the children of Israel, I've got it all laid out for you. I've lined some things up for you. I mean, I've got the pathway marked and I've gone before you. Everything's going to be okay. But there's going to be some things you're going to have to go through. There's going to be some decisions that you will have to make. I've done about everything I can do. Now it's up to you. In 10 verses, there's a reference to the word you 28 times. 28 times. God thinks it's important for you and I to take personal ownership of the great adventure called life. Let me read you a couple of these scriptures that I believe are just so powerful and full of so much truth for our life. Verse 15 of chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgment. God's a better judge than we are. That you may live and multiply. There's a promise connected to the condition. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that if your heart turns away that you do not hear and are drawn away and go and worship other gods and serve them. Verse 18 says, then I make an announcement to you. I announce to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over into the Jordan that you go to possess. And then God makes this declaration. God says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today, right now, against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And both you, watch this, there's an attachment, and your descendants may live. Can I tell you that your decisions matter? When I read this verse, verse 19, I've read it over and over again. The more I've read it, the more I keep looking to get this word, choose. For me, choose is the big word there. I know that God's going to hold up on His end of the bargain. Can I have a good amen? Amen. I know that God's not going to fail. I know that God's not going to make a mistake. God's not going to guarantee something. And when you call Him on it, He's going to be like, oh, my bad. I didn't really have the goods to go with that. How many knows God stands by His word? He's not like a man that would lie. God is going to hold up to His end of the line. And I know that there's awesome things that God has for me in my life. I may not understand them. I may not deserve them. I may can't figure it all out. I may not be able to get my arms all around it. But I have a sense in my life that God has a blueprint and God has a plan for my life. God has something in mind for me to be as a husband. God has something in mind for me to be as a dad. God has something in mind for me to be with my life. I don't believe I'm wasted. I believe there's purpose. Now, I haven't got a hold of all of it. I don't completely understand it, but I sense it all. But you know what? I'm realizing more and more, a lot of it boils down to the choices that I'm going to make. Am I going to choose to walk in it? Am I going to choose to be devoted to Him? What am I going to do with my choices? Everybody in this room could probably preach a little bit about bad choices. Whether you're here or you're watching on TV, all of us could tell a story. Everybody's got a sermon that you could preach on bad decisions. How many in here you just made one or two? Just a few. You could tell the story about bad decisions. Some of you could get up on this stage and you could talk about bad choices. There's one or two that you could do a whole series on how bad choices affected your life, on how bad decisions have hurt other people. We know about choices. And then there's so many here that you could talk about the blessing of a good choice. You could talk about the blessing of a decent decision. You could talk about how God has been there for you and how God did more than you could ever imagine just because of a choice that you made in His direction. Choices will define your life. And God says right here, choose life. The great adventure of 2007 hinges a lot on choices that you will make in the next 365 days. I can't predict everything about 2007. I've read some emails lately, predictions for 2007. I can tell you this, you'll have to make some decisions next year. There'll be some choices that you'll have to make. I guarantee in 2007, you will have to make choices and decisions. All of us will. And all of us will face them at a different level of our life. All of us will face them at a different point in our life. The one thing in common we'll have is we'll have to make decisions. Will we choose life? Will we choose the blessings? Will we choose God's way, God's commands? Will we choose the way that God wants it, God desires it? Or will we choose what we want? Or what this world offers. What will we choose? The great adventure awaits us. And much of it will be defined based on the choices that you and I will make. I've been thinking a lot about this. I've read Deuteronomy over and over again and thought, Lord, help me. I've got to make better choices next year. I'm not real proud of every decision I made in 2006. I made a few choices that I wish I wouldn't have made. I want to make better godly decisions in 2007. And I wrote down a few decisions that we'll get to make in 2007. Kind of some choices. Let me give them to you. There's four choices that I think are general choices that all of us will have to kind of deal with. If you want what God wants, if you want to live His great adventure, here's the first one. Is will you choose the dead ends of yesterday or the new supernatural paths that God's Word offers you? You know, every time we choose to embrace yesterday, we basically decide to go down a dead-end road. There are so many dead-end roads that many times when we relive the past, when we rehearse the past, we turn on to. I mean, the number one rule on the refrigerator in a marriage, in a family, is don't bring up the past. I mean, just don't bring up the past. There's no life in rehearsing the past. And so we've got to make a decision. Are we going to pull into the dead ends of yesterday? Or will we choose in 2007 to launch out into the new supernatural past that God has for us in His Word? Because you know what? This Word is full of supernatural paths. This Word is full of supernatural recipes for our life. And I believe in 2007, God wants to help you and I to go back to the book. Can I have a good amen? Amen. That we get back to the book. That we do it based on the book. There's not a person here that says, I just read my Bible way too much in 06. Whoo! If there's one thing I want to change, I got to get my head out of the book. I bet every single person here, if you were honest, would probably say, I need to spend a little bit more time in God's Word. I need God's Word to be overlaid on my opinion. Too often we rush to make a decision without going to this book. Too often we lead our life on what we feel is best. I got instincts. I got some feeling. I sense it. I got a tingle. Let me tell you something. We better have the Word. Because this is the only thing that can defeat the devil. It's the Word of God. And He offers it to us. It's a supernatural path. Supernatural makeover, areas of your life. Let's make that choice, amen? Let's make a choice to spend more time in this book. More time in this book. Second choice, I believe that God wants to help us with. And I believe if you want a fresh start, that's your desire, then you've got to be willing to let go of what lies behind you and to take hold of what lies ahead of you. Take hold of what's ahead of you. I love the story of Peter when he's in the boat with all the other disciples. They're hanging out on the lake. Things are not going real well. And all of a sudden they see this ghost, they think at first, walking across the water. Oh, somebody's walking on the water. Hello, haunting ghost, scary, scary. And they look again, it's Jesus. Jesus is walking on water. He's walking out of, hey, I done. Y'all left me. He's walking to them on water. And they're all like, oh, they're scared. They don't know. Have you ever been scared of the future? Scared of the unknown? Scared of what you don't understand? What you can't figure out? You sense a direction. You sense to move in a direction, but fear. And you just get scared. Finally, Peter, he kind of hollers out, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And the Lord says, walk on, brother. Walk on. And so Peter is Jesus invites him to come. Walk on the water. But there's a big obstacle because he's not going to be able to walk on the water if he stays in the boat. And he's surrounded by boat potatoes. those who love living life in the boat of what they know. And so you can imagine when Peter went to stand up and Jesus said, come on, it's neat out here. You can imagine Peter is thinking to himself, okay, well, you know, he gets to the ledge of the boat and all the other side, what are you doing? You can't walk on water. You're going to sink. You're going to drown. What are you doing? Because, you know, there's always boat potatoes that always want to doubt what lies ahead of you. Everybody say, bad boat potatoes. All of you have boat potatoes in your life right now. You have people around you. Oh, you can't do that. You can't make that commitment. You can't be spiritually healthy. You can't lose weight. You can't improve your life. You can't do anything different with your finances. Your family's not going to turn out any good. Your kids are never going to. There's always people around us that are always wanting to tell us what can't happen and what's not going to happen. Peter has to decide, is he going to stay in the boat or is he going to keep his eyes on Jesus? You know what he does? He gets on the ledge of that boat and he steps off of the boat. And the water doesn't hold him. Jesus holds him. Because water can't hold a man. But Jesus can hold a man on water. And he keeps his eyes on Jesus. Everything's fine. But then all of a sudden, the Bible says he takes his eyes off of Jesus. Trouble, trouble, trouble. All across this room, you know the sinking feeling of when you get your eyes off of Jesus. I know what it feels like to sink when I take my eyes off of Jesus. And he starts sinking. Lord, Lord, save me, I'm drowning. Ah! And the boat potatoes are like, good, drown. One less mouth to feed. What does Jesus do? Jesus walks over and picks him up out of the water. Doesn't let him drown. Oh, I'm glad. You ought to be glad I'm not Jesus because there's some people I'd let drown. Come on, don't act like you wouldn't let him. Let him go on a little bit. He needs a little baptism. Well, you've been treating me. Don't act like you wouldn't. Aren't you glad we're not all Jesus? There'd be some wet people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But what does Jesus do? He rescues them. Picks them up. Even though he had doubt. Even though he was sinking a little bit. He connects himself with someone that is sinking. Thank God for that. And he lifts them up. Says, let's go get back in that boat. And Peter and Jesus walk back to the boat together on water. Could you imagine when they got up to the ledge of the boat, it's rocking. Jesus gets in and Peter. Been walking on some water. How's the boat? God bless you. Hey, could you just imagine? Oh, thank God. He kept his eyes on Jesus. I don't know what is ahead for the next 12 months of your life. But I can tell you, you won't find it if you keep reaching behind you. You got to reach out to what lies ahead of you. Amen? I'll tell you the third thing I think is so important, choice that we'll have to make, is that God is a right now God. Choose to believe that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is happening right now, God can meet it right now. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing now. It will spring forth. Right now. It'll spring forth, says the Lord. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can I have a good amen for the reading of the word? Oh, what a promise that God is a right now God. No matter what is happening right now in your life, whether it's good, whether it's abundance, whether it's lack, whether it's what you thought was going to happen, whether it's the way you thought it was going to turn out, whatever is happening right now, your right now problem, your right now issue, your right now challenge, your right now fear, guess what? With God, He can meet it right now. Oh, you want to bring your right now problem to meet your right now God. Because God is in the right now. Now it shall bring forth. Now it shall bring forth. You say, well, Dino, you don't understand. It doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to God how young, how old, how rich, how poor, how educated, how uneducated, or how many weaknesses you have right now. God specializes in making miracles out of messes. How do you know that? Because I have created a few messes in my life. And with every mess, when I have turned to Him, He has met me with a miracle. He has met me with a miracle. Now let me finish up with this last choice that you and I get to make. And this one has been a difference maker in my own life. Matter of fact, it's just been really touching my heart. It's been shaping me lately. There's still so much more that I want this thought to do in my life. It's found out of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. There's 15 verses, verse 1 to verse 15. That if you'll spend time in those 15 verses, it can reshape your life. Those 15 verses have the power to transform a life. It's amazing, these 15 verses in John chapter 15. And there's a little verse right in the middle of it, verse 7. I've been reading it over and over again. I've been trying to memorize it. I'm not a real good memorizer, not like Pastor Mike, not like Brother Wayne, but I'm trying to memorize this better. And I love this scripture in John chapter 15. What a truth. It says this, if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you shall desire and it shall be done for you. What's the fourth choice? Is choose to abide in Jesus. It goes on to say, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Make a decision, make the choice in 2007 to abide in Christ. To abide in the love of God. I like that word abide. It's a Greek word. It comes from the Greek word meno. And you know what it means? It means to stay, to remain, to continue. It means as if it's the place where you live. It's your permanent address. You ever ask someone, where you live at? Oh, I stay right here. This is where I stay. I stay right here. Abide means I stay here. I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm not just going to visit Christ in 07. He's not just going to be my vacation home. He's not going to be my bomb shelter. Jesus and the love of God and the words of Christ are going to be my permanent address throughout the year. It's where I live at. I need to live there. You know what it also means? It means constant communication. You're in constant communication. I bought my daughter a cell phone. You know what made me buy her one? Was she put together a list of 10 reasons why McCall needs a cell phone. Went on the computer, made a list, printed it out. It's up on my computer. I saved it. Word document. She printed it out. She gave it to me. And you know what all 10 of them was about? Was about her daddy staying in constant communication with her. Smart sister. None of them was about talking to her friends, texting, find out what's going on. Every single one of them was, so you can get a hold of me, so you can check on me, so you can call and pray for me. She was leaning that pastoral side, dirty dog. So you can call and tell me that you love me. So you can know where I'm at, so I can let you know where mama's at. She did the whole gamut. You know, I'll add an 11th one. If I get this, I get kisses. Because how many of them daughters get older, they just like, yeah, I'll see you later. God bless you. Can I have a hug? No. I mean, and so guess what? She got a phone. Because I like that idea. Constant communication. Constant communication. I called her. This Dylan was out of town. It was just me and McCall for a night. She was at a little get-together. I'm calling her like 10 times. I called her. I called her one time. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm at a skating rink, and I've made one more lap around the rink since the last time you called me. I'm just checking on you. Every time she gets mad at me, I say, do you remember the list? It's all about constant communication, constant contact. I called her one time. I said, how you doing? Is there any boys around there? She said, were they? Are they looking at you? No, they're not looking at me. I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Right before she hung, she said, I love you, Daddy. I was like, do you need a car now? What you want now? What's the next list? It's yours. Whatever I was going to spend on your mama, I'm now spending on you. Can I have an amen from all the daddies? Constant communication. I pray that you will be in constant communication with your Savior. Don't visit Him. Don't visit Him. Remain. 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 Don't let anything come between you and Jesus in 2007. And you'll have the makeover that you desire. You'll have whatever makeover you need if you'll stay, if you'll abide. Abide in our Lord. Abide in Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I just pray that your word would just come alive in every heart. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in every life in this room. God, I believe you're bringing people to a decision. I believe even at this moment, there are people that want to make a decision for Christ in this room. And Lord, I believe you're going to do that. I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want you to begin to prepare your heart. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come in just 1 second. He's going to give you an opportunity to make a decision. He's going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that gives the power to change lives. It's the Word of God that gives us hope for a new day. God wants to do that in many lives and in many hearts today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You know, the great thing about God is that He loves us so much that He gives us the freedom to choose, doesn't He? His love, what kind of love is that? That He gives us an opportunity, even though He knows the answer and He gives us direction, but yet He loves us enough to say, okay, now you decide. This morning, you know, we've had a chance to come face to face with truth. You know, the Bible says you'll know the truth and truth will set you free. And I just have a feeling that many of you that have come here this morning, this is a moment, kind of an intersection of your life where you're able to look back at 2006, you know, 365 days that God gave us this year. Maybe some of you have some regret and some disappointment over things that happened. Maybe this year was a tough year for many of you. You know, you can make a decision today. Even though you can't change your past, you can make a decision right now in this moment and create a brand new future. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Mike, I need some things in 2007 to be different than 2006. I'm ready to put this year behind me. If that's you and you're longing for a change in your life, would you just lift up your hand? Come on, all over this place. Hands are going up all over this place. Mike, I've made some difficult choices. I've done some things that I regret. There have been some heartaches and pains that I've carried with me all year long, and I'm ready to put those things in the past and reach out to something different. Come on, keep your hands up just for another moment. Hands are going up. Dozens of hands. Hundreds of hands. Well, let's do this. Let's everybody stand together. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Lord. Jason, why don't you lead us in this song? And I want you to take a moment just to prepare your heart, because for many of us, this is going to be a moment of destiny. Do you believe that? Can I have a better amen? Come on, let's just begin to worship Him. Come on, lift your hands and begin to worship Him. Come on, if you've got a mountain, you need God to move. Come on. Come on, let's just begin to sing this. Come on, He conquered. Jesus conquered the grave. Come on, sing it, Savior. Come on, sing it one more time, Savior. He can move mountains. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how many here this morning have some mountains in their lives that you need God to move? Come on, let me see your hand. You say, well, Mike, what if I pray and God doesn't move the mountain? Let me tell you this. If God doesn't move the mountain, then He'll give you the grace to climb the mountain. Do you believe that? Come on, now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You this morning. And God, we celebrate an incredible year. God, we thank You that You've been so faithful. God, Your mercies have been new every morning. And God, You've walked with us every single step of this year. Now, Father, we come at this intersection, Lord, in our lives. And God, we stand on the threshold of something brand new. Jesus, I thank You that You make all things new. You said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are made brand new. And God, we're believing that 2007 is going to be filled with new hope. God, that 2007 will be filled with new opportunities. God, with new chances. God, with fresh mercy and new grace. Now, God, we speak to those things that we're staring in the face. God, those mountains, God, that we can't seem to climb. God, I pray that You would move them, Father, or You'd give us grace, God, to make the ascent. And so, Lord, right now, we're just believing You for a supernatural makeover. God, it starts with us. God, it starts in us. God, in our hearts. Father, in our homes. Lord, in our marriages, with our children. God, in our finances. Lord, in our health. God, in our relationships. And God, in our future. Because we thank You, God. You're the King and You're the source of everything that we need. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, is God good? Listen, God bless you. We're believing next weekend, Perry Stone, it's going to be a great year. You're dismissed. Go out and change your world.